This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 306 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to be bringing Jimmy's trip report. He's back from Walt Disney World and he's got a lot to talk about. However, I'm going to throttle him tonight and we're going to just start talking about Galaxy's Edge, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Hey Jimmy, how's it going?
I'd like to say I'm fantastic. But I am back from Walt Disney World, so, but still pretty good.
And we've got some trip plans coming up, so no problems there.
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier to come home to, another trip not too far in the distant future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, so Jimmy just got back, and he was down there over Labor Day weekend and pretty much that week following it, which was great because he was there for the opening of Galaxy's Edge, and he was there for the beginning of the entire Halloween season at the Disney properties.
So another interesting thing about our trip is, we were flying out, which was 2 weeks ago tonight. There was an impending storm, and I was getting, there was Dorian, and I was getting questions from people like, "Hey, are you still going? You're not going to cancel your trip?" I'm like, "The thing's far enough out there. I don't think they really know where it's going to go yet. It's not a given it's going to go to Disney or even be close to Disney or even impact us." And on the other hand, I've been to Disney. You were there, Ed, for Hurricane Matthew. And I felt like, you know what? If I'm going to be somewhere during a hurricane, Disney's probably not a terrible place to be, because guess what? They're going to take care of you.
Oh, no doubt. I remember talking about that as the storm was coming in. And one of the things I asked you was how much longer you're going to stay after the storm is supposed to come through. And you said a couple days, and I'm like, well, that's perfect, because you'll have a couple days before, you'll have the couple days of the storm itself, hopefully nothing was going to be majorly wrong, and then you continue your trip afterwards.
And a lot of people were much more concerned about the storm than I was. So a lot of people canceled and, moved their trips, which Labor Day week is a fairly slow week to begin with in Walt Disney World. And this time, because people moved their trips and canceled because of the storm, it was very, very slow.
Oh, I remember seeing some of those pictures you guys had. It was like it was opening time, but it was like later in the day.
Middle of the day, yeah. And it was like nobody on the streets. You can find reservations on restaurants. We had fast passes booked. To be honest with you, we didn't do a whole lot of fast passes, because if you wanted to go on attraction, you could probably just go on it. And even Soarin', I mean, we walked on Soarin' at 5 o'clock in the evening. And the sign said 15 minutes, but we literally just walked directly, walked all the way back to the part where you have to wait to load.
Right. So there are some benefits to that whole hurricane thing. And you guys really did luck out with Dorian.
We did. And, I don't want to say it didn't impact us at all. We did have one night. Me and Lisa do the live show every Tuesday night. So that Tuesday, they announced on Monday that Tuesday, Magic Kingdom and Epcot were going to close at 3. Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom were going to close at 2. I told Lisa that night when they announced that, I was like, I can't believe they're announcing this. At this point, the storm was still like in the Bahamas and it was completely stalled. And I'm like, we don't even know if it's going to impact us by then. So I don't know what they're doing. Right. And sure enough, by middle of the day Tuesday, we had left Galaxy's Edge, and me and Kim were sitting at baseline, and they just had announced, well, they're changing the plans. Now, Hollywood Studios still closed at 2, but they pushed Epcot back till 7 and Springs back till 8. But we had plans to do our live show. We just did it from Old Key West. And we got a little rain that night, and then the next morning there was a little bit of rain, but it was done by like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And the rest of the day was, it was windy, but it was actually kind of nice because it was overcast and windy and wasn't hot. So it really worked out for us quite well.
Nice, nice. And again, so lucky you guys totally missed that whole thing. It definitely could have gone a lot worse.
Sure. Yep. So that Monday, which was Labor Day, we did the Halloween party, which was an absolute hoot. I really enjoyed it. I went last year, the same date. We went Labor Day last year. Me and Wyatt, Kim wasn't on that trip. It was just a guy's trip. But Kim hadn't been since like, I think like 2007. It's been since she's been to a Halloween party. And it was a lot of fun. Now, we were already getting winds from Dorian. So it was pretty, and it wasn't windy, but windy enough that for the Halloween party, they did not want to do, they told us at the beginning of the Halloween party that they were not going to have fireworks. Which is interesting because this is the first year that they had Mickey's Not So Spooky Spectacular, which is the new fireworks show that replaced Hallowishes.
Right.
So they did have, which is basically a lot like, it's not like Happily Ever After, but it's kind of like it in the fact that it's a projection show in addition to fireworks, in addition to some live puppets, a live puppet of Jack Skellington. So they didn't have the fireworks, but they did still do the show, which me and you talked about that earlier before we started recording, that that's interesting because had it still been Hallowishes, they just would have been no show at all.
Right, sure. They would have just canceled that and you would have moved on. Now, it's kind of cool to even hear you say that because I'm sure the show was entertaining as all hell anyway, right? Without the fireworks even?
It really was. I mean, it was still worth taking the time and watching it, even without the fireworks. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the show would have been better with fireworks.
Oh, sure. Oh, always.
That being said, it was still worth taking the, you know, the 15, 20 minutes or however long the show is to stand and watch.
Right. Now, this kind of ties into what I said about the Magic Kingdom's night show, is that there's just so much going on. You really can't appreciate, I think, either part of it because you gotta keep going back and forth between the fireworks and the show on the castle. There's just so much, but to be able only to watch the castle and not have to worry about the fireworks, that probably was like a little freeing almost.
Yeah, and the show is still pretty good. I mean, it's got a good story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still definitely worth watching. The other interesting part about the Halloween party that I really enjoyed, especially since it was Kim's first time being there and the first time seeing this last year when we went, it was the first time they had ever done, at least the first time I know of that they had ever done live actors on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, right.
Which there were three last year. There was one kind of in the queue in one of those like cells. There was one in the line where you make the turnabouts right before you board. And then there was one on the bridge on the attraction. That was also the same when me and Sam did the Villains After Hours. Very similar to that. Different story. But similar amount. This time, there had to be 5 or 6, maybe 7 live actors on the attraction. Yeah, so it was like one of them was still in one of the cellars, like the cages in the attraction. One was still in the queue. But then as soon as you go past the little drop where the ship is, and right when you kind of run into it, there was one there. There was still one on the bridge, but there's probably 5 in the attraction, plus the 2 in the queue.
Okay, cool.
So I thought that was really interesting, and it made it really cool because, I mean, not only are they there, but they're kind of talking to you, and they're in character, and they're playing along. So it was definitely cool.
Right. Now, I tell you what, it must have been even better because of your costumes. Tell us what you guys were wearing.
Oh, so we were all dressed as pirates. Well, not all of us. Lisa was dressed as me. But
you got to see pictures, Kim. Guys.
Yeah. So me and Kim and Angela were dressed as pirates. So it was really cool. And I have a video. God, I'm going to have to find that video and get it to you. But the girl, it was a female who was in the queue, the second one that was in the queue. And she made a whole big deal about me showing up with Kim there, because the last time she seen me, I just disappeared, apparently.
Right.
So it was really cool. And so I wore the same costume I wore last year, except this time we did a whole pirate theme. Last year, I was there with Charlotte and Wyatt and Morgan, and we did a Peter Pan thing. And I was actually supposed to be like Smee. And last year, the pirate in the queue right there also interacted with me and called me Smee. And, you know, so twice I've had good interactions dressed as a pirate going on to the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. Okay, so I tell you what, that sounded like a really, really good party. And I got to ask you, every time you do the parties or we have somebody on talking about the parties, what do you prefer, Christmas or Halloween?
I've never been to the Christmas party.
Oh, okay.
I think I would still prefer the Halloween party. Just because of the dressing up and stuff, some of the stuff like that, like the costumes. I'm not talking about just my costume, but just...
Well, everybody else you see, sure.
Just the people that come there and the details and they do crazy stuff with their costumes. I mean, some of them are very elaborate that I don't know how they do that.
How they get them there.
And how they stay in them at the beginning of September.
Oh, right. So hot.
Because they look hot. I mean, I'm in just like a pirate outfit, which is, you know, and I was still hot. So right. They had people like dressed up like Captain Hook that are in long felt coats and stuff.
Oh, sure. Like the Captain Jacks and stuff like that. Although it's almost Comic-Con like, because they do a good job. Everybody does try to do well that dresses
it's,
up.
It's really incredible. It's been great for that. I tell you what, I would tell people, if you don't want to spend the money for a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, go to the Magic Kingdom during the day when they have one at night, and instead of just leaving, go sit by the exit where they're coming in and just look at the costumes, because they're amazing.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's really cool. And you could probably stay around the park. They'll just stop you from going on rides and going into stores eventually, too.
Yeah, they cut you. They start blocking it off, but you got to show your band to get past that point.
Right.
But you could probably hang around, like, the Emporium. And you got to remember, people can start getting into the parks for the party at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I think DVC members can even get in at 2.
Right. I was going to say that. There's a big overlap both ways.
So the park getting close till 7. So you could actually hang out for quite a while and see a lot of costumes coming.
Yeah, definitely fun. Okay, let's get on to the most important part of your trip. and I tell you what, we got a lot of great information from Charlotte at the media event for the, I think it was the 2 days before they opened it up, and they had a lot of great interviews and stuff. You guys got into it a couple of days after opening, and I want to hear about that, because that's what's going to be like when I get there. Galaxy's Edge, tell me, what was it like?
I hope it'll still be this way when you get there. But again, I went the day after the Halloween party. I went on Tuesday. And we got up pretty early, which is we normally don't do. but right now they're doing the extra magic hours. So they've been opening up Hollywood Studios at 6 o'clock in the morning. So people can get over, the resort guests can get over the Galaxy's Edge. Now, we didn't get up that early. But we got to the park probably about 8, which didn't open to the general public till 9. So we got about an hour head start. But it gave us enough time to really get in the Galaxy's Edge. Now, you got to remember, we had already known at this point that the park was going to close at 2 that day. And a lot of people, and it was fairly slow to begin with.
Oh, so people just blew it off anyway.
Yeah, so a lot of people were not at the park. The parks were very, very quiet. Now, the people that were there, I feel like most of them were going to Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
So we went over to Galaxy's Edge, kind of walked around. We went in through the entrance over by Baseline and Muppet Vision 3D.
Okay, so just real quick. Now, there's no restrictions in going into Galaxy's Edge, right? Anybody can go any time of the day. They're not controlling crowds or anything like that, like they did.
No,
at
I think just the opening day they were doing like a reservation system, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
Okay. Well, I know they definitely aren't doing fast passes.
Fast passes. Which is kind of cool because even if there's a line for Smuggler's Run, like we went and there was, I think the posted wait was 50 minutes.
Right.
And we probably waited 45. But look, you've never been on it before. It's a cool queue.
Right.
And it's constantly moving because there's no fast pass queue cutting you off.
Good. I didn't think of it that way. Now, was there a single rider line on this guy too?
I want to say there is, yes.
Because I think it was like the cockpit, so you're trying to fill seats, so I'd hope
there's
so. But
there's six seats in the cockpit. There's two pilots, two gunners, and two engineers. Yeah, I think there is a single rider line. Now, me and Kim, let me tell you, I almost wished I could have spent a little more time in the queue.
Okay. Well, that's how it always is with those good rides.
Yeah. I mean, and that part of it was outside. That was in the shade, but part of where we were was outside. But once you got into the building, it was really cool and really detailed. So we went on that. We were engineers. We were with a family of four. There was two little kids that were pilots. They couldn't even reach the controls, so that kind of sucked.
Right.
They couldn't reach them well. They could reach some of the controls, but when we had to jump to light speed, like they couldn't reach the little thing you got to push forward.
So it was like automatic or something?
Yeah, it kicked in automatically. but I have heard horror stories of people that ride in this attraction with like, the people that were pilots didn't speak English. They didn't understand what was going on, so they kept crashing it and just didn't make it a good flight.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I didn't realize there was an alternative, so that's cool.
So the pilots actually control the ship. So I'm sure it's with some limitations, but if you push the stick right, you're going to go right. You push the stick left, you're going to go left.
Okay.
The engineer, I couldn't really tell what the gunners were doing. There's buttons and stuff that they have to press and do. For us, with the seats we were in, all the buttons are kind of on the left. Well, on my left, because I was on the left seat. Kim's right, she was in the right seat. But when something would break, lights would flash, and you'd have to press buttons.
Okay, to fix it. Sure, you're an engineer.
Yeah, so, and then there was also, like, I got 100%. I think Kim got 100%. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Kim gets motion sick on a lot of attractions.
Right.
Like, she can't do Star Tours.
Okay.
She felt like this was, although similar kind of the Star Tours, because it's kind of a simulator.
Sure.
But she felt like all the stuff that you have to do kept her busy enough that it didn't make her sick.
That's good to know. Chris, you hear that? Awesome.
Yeah, so she, you know, you're doing so much stuff and things have gone on and you're trying to look out the cockpit, but then there's lights flashing at you and she got breath. So it's pretty intense and it was a lot of fun.
Right.
Have to say, the queue and just being able to walk on the ship in the audio animatronic of, what's his name? Tanaka.
I know you're talking about the guy from Rebels.
I didn't know this either, but Jim Cummings does the voice.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, same guy does like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. And yeah.
That's crazy. I'll have to listen.
It's completely different than what anything else he's done. Just walking around the ship.
Hondo Tanaka. Yeah. He's a scoundrel. You can't trust him anyway. Whatever he says, you don't trust him.
So the idea is you're going to work for him, basically.
Cool. I guess it's hard times, huh?
Because you're a smuggler, and he owns all the smuggling routes, I guess. So it's pretty funny.
Nice.
I have video of the room you walk into with him, and it's pretty funny. He talks bad about the group before you.
Right. Well, of course he does.
You walk in there, like, it's a hole. You fill a room, and that's where you kind of split into different, however many ships there, you know, however many cockpits there are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, I like this group here. That last group, I don't know about.
So very cool.
He's throwing shade at the group before you.
Right.
And then once you get past that, you queue up in a room that has the gaming table. I have a picture. Kim could care less about Star Wars, so she took a couple pictures of me sitting behind the...
Sure, it's the main hold.
The table.
Yep.
So that made me excited.
Did they?
That's just so iconic.
Did they have holograms on it, or is it just the table?
No, it's just the table.
Yeah. Okay.
They had holograms on it. That's fine enough.
Well, didn't they have a table over at over in oh crap, where's the animation courtyard? Didn't they have a table in there at one point?
They may have, but this is the table with the seat.
Well, sure, in the Falcon. Falcon. I gotcha. Yeah, that's cool.
You're in the movie. You're in the scene from the movie, you know.
Let me ask you this. This is, I'm not following. So everybody goes through this area and then they put you in individual ride queues or ride machine. I'm not following. I don't have the terminology.
I think there are six ride vehicles.
Okay. So are you all in this room together now?
Huh?
So are all, like, say, 36 of you in this room now?
In the room with Hondo?
Right.
You are.
Okay.
And that's where you split.
Gotcha.
And then you go into another queuing area. There may be more than six, Ed. I don't know. I'm sure Matt would know. But then they break you up into smaller groups. Like, when you go in that room with Hondo, they tell you what line to go into, almost like on Test Track.
Right.
Where you go build your car and they tell you what line to get into. But then they break you up into smaller groups and you go into another room. That's where the table, where the gaming table is. And then they split, then they call your group. Or they give you
the waiting room.
A card.
The waiting room.
Our cards were blue.
Okay.
So they say, all right, all blue over here. So, and then all the people with blue cards, which was the family of four and then me and Kim. And your card tells you what position you are.
Okay, pretty cool.
And then a door opens and you walk through a little hallway that looks like the Falcon. And then you walk into the cockpit.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing.
So that's the place where they switch up where the cockpit's going to be then. So your cockpit is your crew area. So they've
correct.
Got like six different
just
cockpits
the
or
six
whatever.
Of you. Once you leave that room, in the room that had the gaming table, maybe there was one other group in there. So maybe there was 12 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they called us over by color. And then we walked through. And then at that point, it was just the six of us.
Nice. Now, I tell you what, I don't want to really go into what happened on the ride because we're still trying to stay away from that. I want to stay a little spoiler free. I figure helping everybody get to the ride is going to be cool enough for tonight. But give me your opinion. You got to be able to give me your idea of what you thought this was. Was it a 10? Was it a 5? Was it a 2? What happened? How was it?
So we're going to use the Flight of Passage scale, where Flight of Passage is a 10.
Fair enough.
I would say this is an 8.
Nice. That works really well. That's fine. And you know what? The Falcon just being there, does that help with the score, or is that just kind of in there?
Well, no, I think it definitely... I think if it's not the Falcon, if it's just some random space shuttle, it's probably a 6.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So there's also, you know, the queue, there's walking through the halls, there's the gaming table, all that stuff helps build it. Because you're pretty excited, you're on the Falcon, right?
Oh, I know, I can't wait. Now, I'm hoping the gunner's station is going to be something like it was in the movie, where you're going to have, like, the little, either the gun sight going there, or you're going to actually see the TIE fighters coming at you.
I don't think that's the case.
Darn it.
I think it's more like, okay, launch the missiles.
Oh, bummer.
And you hit the button to launch the missiles.
Okay, so kind of like Mission.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I think you have the experience because I'm not 100% sure. Because I'm telling you, it's intense and it's busy enough that you can't. Like, I wasn't really paying attention to
the other stations.
The other stations,
sure.
Other than it's telling the kids to do something they couldn't reach because I kind of saw that. But
right.
I mean, you're trying to look out the cockpit and you're trying to do your own stuff. So it's really hard to pay attention to what other people are doing.
Right. Okay, well, awesome. Sounds like a really fun time. So, the rest of Galaxy's Edge, now we're done with the attraction. What was the next biggest thing that really stood out to you guys?
The attention to detail is amazing. And I'm talking about the cast members.
Okay.
The area. The cast members are all dressed differently, but look like they belong there. None of them look like, you know, none of them look like they don't belong. They all fit into the scheme of things. Walking around, all the signage you see is in Erebus.
Okay.
So, and when you walk in, you know, when you get your map, there's a map they give you, and then there's also a guide to the land. And in the guide, there is a Erebus decoder.
Oh, nice. I love that stuff.
So one of the things that was really cool is, like, when you go walk over to the market, there's one store that sells nothing but toys, and there's a lot of cool stuff in there, but outside there's a sign, and I think it's got a droid on it, and it's got some Aerobash underneath it, and if you decode it, it just says toys.
Okay.
So it's a toy store. It's the toy store, but it's written in Aerobash, so you wouldn't know that unless you said it took the time to decode it.
Right, right. Oh, I'd hope they have some like phrases out there somewhere in the land that kind of decode to something really cool.
I'm sure there is, and I've also heard, I didn't do it. Lisa played with it a little bit, but the Disney Play app has a lot of stuff that it has you go scan and do stuff with.
Oh, okay. Very cool. See, now I'm looking forward to spending a little time doing a lot of that stuff. I'm willing to give up like a full day, like a half day and a half day, just to try to do a lot of the things in Galaxy's Edge. However, I have been reading things that are going to tell me that's going to be difficult to do. So I hope that's not true. I hope my Star Warsness is going to win out.
I took a selfie in front of the Millennium Falcon. That was cool.
Right. How could you not?
There's a great photo pass opportunity with an X-Wing. And they have you. I'm not going to share the picture with you. But basically, they have you hold your arms up like to cheer.
Right.
And when the picture comes out, you're standing in front of an X-Wing, but then there's two flying in the air behind you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, I have heard there's been a bunch of characters running around. You have the Stormtroopers, of course. I've heard Chewie's been running around. I've seen Rey. I've even seen, actually, Chris has been posting Darth Vader has been, like, kind of in there for a little bit now, too. Who, did you guys see anybody else that really stood out?
We saw Rey. We saw some Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we saw while we were back there.
Mm-hmm.
We did get to go into Oga's Cantina.
Nice.
I had a reservation for like 2:30, and Lisa ended up picking one up for around 1:40 or something like that.
Okay.
But because they were closing at 2.
Oh, right.
We went and talked to them, and they said, sure, if you had a reservation for later today, just go to the back of the line. They'll come by with a tablet and scan you in, and then they'll call your name. So we went and waited. We probably waited 15, 20 minutes to get in.
Okay.
And then you had a 45-minute block of time you could be in there.
How do they know you're done with your time?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. But they walked you to a specific spot. Lisa, because we had two separate reservations, they called Lisa and Angela first.
Right.
And then they were at all the way like on the right side of the bar. And me and Kim went in a little bit later, and they put us all the way at the left side of the bar.
That's probably how then, by where you are in the bar.
So maybe just by the position they put you in, they kind of got an idea of how long you're there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't even in there for 45 minutes. The drinks were very expensive.
Right.
Did they still... like $15.
Really? Alcoholic, right?
Yeah. Now, there are some non-alcoholic drinks, but I had a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it came in a really cool glass. Different, you know, that was the only thing that really made it different. It was a beer, but it came in like a glass that, you know, not a regular beer glass. And then Kim's drink was called the Bespin Fizz.
Okay.
And it was really cool because it bubbled and, like, smoked. So after she finished, I was looking at it, and there's like a chamber at the bottom of it that they must put dry ice in.
Oh, okay. Sure. Give a little animation.
So like bubbles the whole time, and it just has this white smoke that comes off the top of it, which was really cool because it fit the environment. And then behind the bar, it's all kind of cool stuff, and then you get DJ Rex in the back.
I saw some video of DJ Rex.
Throw down some mad tracks.
Very cool.
Did you see the other day the thing I posted? You could actually go.
There's an album.
They have the soundtrack that's available for DJ for Oga's Cantina.
Right, and for you guys out there, don't forget Rex. That's the old pilot from Star Tours. He's got a new gig now over in Galaxy's Edge.
I'm just getting used to my programming.
Did you guys get anything to eat while you're in there?
We did not. We went up there. It was kind of like, I mean, we were there early.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over there, and I looked at the place, the little quick serve place, and there just wasn't anything I really wanted. So we actually, me and Tim, we had walked around there quite a bit. We got a couple pictures. There was one cool picture. You ever seen the picture they do with the 360 cameras that's like a tiny Earth picture?
Sure.
So they have one like that there. That's actually where we met up with Chris. There was like a 360 camera set up on a tripod.
Right.
And he tells you where to stand, they snap the picture, and then when it comes to your photo pass, it's like one of those tiny Earth pictures.
Oh, very, very cool. How was it getting in and out of there? Did you go in and out through Toy Story Land at all?
No.
And that is open, of course, right?
That is open. We just didn't go that way. We both times. And so then we left. I was getting hungry, which here's my big complaint about Hollywood Studios just in general is that there's not a lot of good breakfast places, like no quick service breakfast or anything like that. So we walked over to Starbucks, to the Trolley Stop Cafe, and got like a ham and cheese croissant, some muffin or something. Oh, biscuit, right, or something.
Well, there you go. There's your breakfast.
And then we got a coffee. And then as soon as we got our order, Lisa and Angela had met us there. So then we walked back. We ate. Me and Lisa went and rode Rock and Roller Coaster, I think. And then we went back. And then we went and did the Cars experience. And then I think we went back to... Yeah, then we went back to Galaxy's Edge with them. Walked around the market a little more. And that's actually when we went at the Ogas, was the second time we went.
Gotcha. Now, the market itself, I heard, is just a bunch of stores. I've heard people call it the Space Mall. Did any stores stand out to you? I've also heard that the merchandise is only available there. Did it really kind of scream, this is only here?
A lot of it, yes. Now, we went into one store. I can't. It's Doc Andor's.
Okay.
That's not by the market. That's outside the market. That was the coolest store.
What were they selling?
The ones in the market are small. They're like little cutouts.
Okay.
And they're small. They're, you know, smaller than a Disney Value Room.
Right.
Like, you just kind of walk in. You can walk around real quick. I mean, it's kind of like a marketplace. You know, you can almost see everything from the front store. You know what I mean?
Sure. A little Morocco-like, perhaps? Like all those little kind stores like everywhere?
Yes. Yes. The Doc Ondor store, I think I'm saying that name right, is cool because they have an audio animatronic of him in there. But they also have some cool lightsabers in there.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, they're similar to what you would build. But these are just pre-built, and they're like ones, you know, there's Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, there's Rey's lightsaber, there's Vader's lightsaber, there's Mace Windu's lightsaber.
Sure, I've seen. Now, are they more expensive or less expensive than ones you do yourself?
About a little less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly what they were, but you do buy the hilt as one piece, and then you add a blade. And they were two different length blades, and it was... I think even with the larger blade, though, I think if I added it up correctly, it was like $179 or $169.
Gotcha. Close enough to the other one, though.
I think it's the same thing. They're just pre-built, and you're not getting the experience, right? So they're a little cheaper, but still, you're not getting the experience. So it's
right.
Not the same.
Sure, sure. Well, at least that's what you're hoping. Now, we're going through the experience now, or Jimmy is. He's decided, based on the visit, he's going to get himself a lightsaber. So for the November trip, he's trying, because what do you need to do for this?
You need to set a reservation.
How?
On Disney's website. You gotta go and go.
So just like a restaurant and anything else?
It's outside of the restaurant reservations. Now, for Ogas Cantina, that is set up in the restaurant reservations, even though it's not really a sit-down restaurant. But this, yeah, if you search Zobby's, it takes you to their website, and you can go and ask you how many people. And when you say how many people, it's how many people building a lightsaber.
Right.
And then they allow you to bring one person with each person building a lightsaber.
Cool.
So far, it looks like the trend, because for November, I'm actually on the site right now, because I've been looking every day just to see if something pops up.
Right, right.
But it seems like the trend is, because there's nothing available in November, for November, the week we're there. But like, there's two reservations available for tomorrow.
so hopefully the night before,
like,
right.
It seems like you almost have to keep checking a bit. I think what it is that people put down a deposit and then they don't cancel till the day before and they decide they're not going.
Oh, and that was the next question. Is it like the restaurant, like $10, $20?
No, $200.
Oh, you put the full deposit down.
Yeah. No, they don't charge you. Yeah, they don't charge your car until you go build it. But I think, I think it's.
What do they charge you for not showing up to 200?
I don't know.
I can't imagine 200. That's just criminal. 10, 20, something like that. But still, it is something. And you're right. That's exactly what it is. People are canceling out right before it. You see that, and we kind of tell people that all the time about be our guest as far as the restaurant goes. When it was so busy, you just got to keep trying. People are always canceling. I did see the droid building. Because I did
that
see
that
video.
Ride makers. Do you remember ride makers?
I don't, but it was. I did have somebody trying to explain it to me, and it does make sense where you're going to be basically picking parts and assembling and stuff.
Ride makers was at the back of where the co-op is now in Disney Springs. It used to be the ESPN store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the big sports store. And at the back of it, there was a thing you could go build and customize your own remote control car.
Oh, nice.
And they had these workstations with the tools hanging, and you basically went and just put it all together right there.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, so from Disney's website, Fasabi's Workshop, cancellations. A valid accepted credit card number is required at the time of booking. You must cancel at least one day prior to your reservation to avoid the per builder cancellation fee. If you fail to timely cancel and are a no-show, the credit card provisioned at the time of the reservation will be charged $199.99.
Holy crap. I'm surprised we haven't heard more about that. So it's a... Yeah.
So you're paying $200 if you don't cancel without outside 24 hours. You're going to pay $200 for not having a lightsaber.
I wonder how strict they are on that. As far as, like, what if you miss your time even? Like, the bus got stopped or some garbage like that.
I would imagine, I mean, if it was something that, you know, Disney was responsible for, I think you'd be fine.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, that's serious, though. They are serious about it. Nothing like the restaurants.
Yeah, like $10 for the $10 per person for the restaurant, right?
Right, right. Well, there's only a limited amount of space. Mm-hmm. Okay, now here's another question for you, too. I just thought about this, and I've been wondering. The animation courtyard, where they had all the Star Wars for the longest time now, what happened over there? What's going on there now?
Launch Bay's still there.
So I don't understand how
we didn't go back in that area, but Launch Bay's still there. It still exists as it is.
So I'm kind of baffled, actually, at this point.
So that's still where the meet and greets are.
Okay.
So you have free roaming characters in Galaxy's Edge, kind of like you do in Disneyland. You can't walk up to them you can't queue up and expect them to sign autographs and stuff like that. They're going to interact. They're going to walk away. They're going to, you know, they're there to be
actual characters
in the land, not there to take a picture with you. And not to say they won't take a picture with you, because they probably will. But right. You can't just queue up. Like, your kid wants to go meet Darth Vader. You can't really go to Galaxy's Edge and expect that to happen. It may happen, but it may not.
Right.
You know, if you go over to Launch Bay and you can wait in the line, you're definitely going to see him. You know what I mean?
So, you know, it's amazing how they do have three different areas now of Star Wars in the park itself that are separated. I wonder if they might have, or they could have actually kind of redesigned those little areas to become different cities on Batuu. Or different outposts. Kind of follow the story a little bit more.
I don't know. I don't think Star Tours will be there much longer.
Oh, no. That's got to keep there. How can it not be? Unfortunately, I still think that Muppets is going to go away. And they're going to connect that.
I don't think so.
But, we'll see.
I don't think so because of the way you transition into Galaxy's Edge from where Muppets and Paceline is.
Right.
That transition there it transitions, so you can't
go back to Star Wars and then back to, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right. It wouldn't make any sense, right?
Right.
They can't theme Baseline and Muppet Vision to Star Wars. They couldn't bring Star Wars up past the transition.
That's where you need the Utilidor to go underneath it all.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, what do you think, guys? Have you been to Galaxy's Edge? Are you going soon? What do you think about what they've done so far, and what have you heard? Let us know. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 306, our first dive into Galaxy's Edge. With Jimmy going down there and us going down soon, I'm totally looking forward to it. I hope you got some good information out of this show. Jimmy, any last-minute thoughts about Galaxy's Edge?
I'm excited to go, you know, in a couple months when we're there again and just get a second. You know, you're so overwhelmed the first time that I know there's a lot of stuff that we missed. So, and I'm also excited to be there with you because I know how much of a fan you are, and it's going to be, and I'm going to get pictures of you tearing up and shit. It's gonna be
great. Yeah, I'm going to go through all the different phases of that. I am sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys. Well, again, thanks for listening. This is show number 306 for Jimmy. This is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Waharini.
Cool.